The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? I'm your middlest brother, Big Dog Chasing a Car, Just Want to Watch the World Burn, Woof Woof, Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy, my fellow Americans.
Oh. Yeah.
I come to you this morning with excellent news. We got him. He has eluded us for decades, and the whole time running amok, I would say causing a lot of...
Running several mucks, really.
A lot of amoks, and just senseless, just chaos all over the place, and really, just a really all-around shitty guy. But we got the Joker for real this time. We took him down, and I think I played my part. I think we all played our part.
The clown is down.
We wanted you and the rest of our listeners to be the first to know that we killed the Joker for you today, Captain. And we just want to salute you, Captain. Our fighting forces.
Are you proud of us?
It's like a V for Vendetta thing. You can't kill the Joker by stabbing him with a knife in the heart or shooting him with a gun. You know why? He's an idea.
He's an idea.
That's true.
He's an idea.
You can't kill an idea.
Except you can, Travis.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you come out and you're like, hey, what's up? I'm Joker. I got new ideas. And everyone on Earth is like, I think we're good. I think we've had our fill of Joker. Thank you so much. Then the idea just kind of beep, 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 beep.
I was about to say, I'm having a hard time because I haven't seen it. But then it sounds like that's what a lot of people could say. A lot of people maybe could say, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I did have that moment of like, Trav, we're cultural critics if nothing else.
Yeah.
I feel an impulse to be culturally relevant with my finger on the zeitgeist. At this point, though, I'm not sure if it's more zeitgeisty to not see the
Joker. Exactly, yeah.
I think plugged in.
We're sheep by doing nothing. By doing nothing, like, we have made the choice not to support the Joker.
I'm more plugged in to, like, the public consciousness having not seen the movie The Joker.
The rebellious act now would be to go spend money at a movie theater and watch a movie.
And I wonder if this is how other people feel. I really don't want to. Really don't want to see
that's the other problem.
It could have tomorrow's winning
struggle.
It could have tomorrow's winning lottery numbers in it. I don't think I want to go see Joker Folie à Deux.
The thing is, I'm a fairly plugged in person, a young man about town, bon vivant. And I know I've seen previews for Joker 2. I know I have. I've seen coverage. They're covering it so much. I couldn't tell you what happens in the Ding Dang movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Joker's there, and I think Stephanie's there as Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And that's about all I know. I don't know any action or plot. I couldn't even tell you, at least for the first one, I could have told you, oh, he dances down some stairs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this one, all I know.
In this one.
I know is that they've got the two of them in it. They got them.
Was I right about the Joker, and then everyone else just had to catch up? Is the rest of America now realizing that we, the people who said this is actually not, in fact, a good film, are we now being proven right? Is it? Mm. I know taste is subjective, but once history gives you these things to work with and build on, I feel like it is conclusive now that Joker was the piss.
a mistake.
You know what I mean? It must be a bad movie.
Actually. I think we have to support our troops that have been active in this battle for a long time. We had a brave agent undercover in this one, Lady Gaga, working to take the machine down from inside the machine.
We got him.
She knew exactly what she was doing. She said, I don't know if I want to be in this one, but if it means I can take down the Joker by being a secret sleeper cell undercover agent, so be it. And so, I mean, congratulations. It must have been really hard to be in Joker 2.
When she showed up and they were like, hey, Lady Gaga, we're going to be filming a movie called Folie à Deux. We'd love to have you in it. She says, oh, that sounds very fancy.
Oh, so
then
cool.
Then she shows up first day and there's the Joker. And she's like, oh, what the fuck?
Well, she probably saw Joaquin first. And
she probably saw Joaquin.
Damn it, Juice, you did it right as I was going to do it.
I'm sorry, girl. I'm sorry.
It's okay, man. We have the same brain.
Going right into it. I really wasn't trying to rob your...
Done bug me at all. Sorry. She probably saw Joaquin and was like, I wonder what kind of Joaquin I'm going to get in this film. A soft, sensitive her type? Or like a crazy, dangerous, crazy man? And then he walks in his Joker makeup and she's like, oh, man, I'm in a Joker movie. That must have been really tough.
Okay, a couple things that I've enjoyed about the interview circuit for Joker Folie à Deux and that have nothing to do with the film itself. The number one is Lady Gaga asking Joaquin Phoenix questions about Lady Gaga music mid-interview with other people.
How was that?
And pretending he is a very big fan of Lady Gaga music and then asking him questions about Lady Gaga music. It ripped ass.
Oh, so kind of
that man? Hey, listen. Lady Gaga made Joaquin Phoenix so uncomfortable in that moment.
Yeah.
It almost made up for how uncomfortable Joaquin Phoenix makes me every single day of my life, every time I see him.
Justin, it was kind of gotcha journalism.
Yes, it was gotcha journalism.
They're heating up. One more of those guys, and we're going to be dunking fire.
The other interview I liked about this is when Joaquin was like, I don't really want to talk a lot about my diet for the Joker. And he's like, I was watching interviews for the last movie and I just talked all the time about how little food I ate to be so skinny for the Joker. And I'm just so boring. I was annoyed with myself. So I just don't want to talk about it because it's like, who cares?
That's good. You got to say,
if they make him do a third one, the natural extension of that is him going, I don't want to talk about this movie. Oh.
You're confused. They won't make a third one. We fucking got him.
There's not going to be
a third one. I will be surprised if they ever mention the Joker again.
Well, he'll come back in the next Affleck Batman, right?
No, Trav.
He's done, man.
Because do you remember who the Joker was in that sort of modern universe? It was Jared Leto, which started the decline.
That can't be it.
Did it? I say Cesar Romero did when he refused to shave his mustache.
That's a very Joker thing to do, though.
That's so huge.
It is very Joker, though, isn't it?
I'm excited to see. Do you think that they'll include the Joker man in the Robert Pattinson, the Batman movies?
I guess there is a, yeah. I don't
know. They're separate little side pockets of the DC universe.
Oh, no, wait, they did. They included the one from Gotham. The Gotham man was in the end of the Batman.
This is too stupid to talk about anymore. I don't want to talk about Batman. It's too stupid. The Joker, I think what everyone is realizing is like, this is all silly.
It's a comic book. He's a cartoon. It's a cartoon.
I'm not afraid. And it's like on Marvel's side, like you got a cartoon man who does deadly pranks. Great. They got a fucking purple alien who's jacked as fuck and he can kill half the universe in one snap. And what's your guy do? He has a little gun that squirts out Laffy juice. Oh, that's great. Adorable. Great, great. Our guy can
snap.
And
he's a little politically incorrect.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow. Whoops. I love Thanos.
More Thanos. Bring him back.
Please bring Thanos back. I'm ready for more.
Played by Robert Downey Jr., it's Thanos.
Hey, people talk about this sort of like going back and talking to one's past self a lot, but I do think it would be, if I could have one 30-second conversation with a teenage self, I think I would drop on him just like, hey, J-Man, just want to let you know that Joker musical is dropping this weekend in movie theaters. and you're probably not going to go watch it. Okay, bye.
Jeez, you could tell that to you probably 6 months ago, and you'd be like, fuck, a Joker musical? No fucking way. I'm there day one.
Here we are.
Here we are. Yeah,
here we are recording this podcast, missing yet another showing.
Yeah, we could be there.
Of Joker. Perhaps several showings simultaneously of Joker.
Yeah, the flick is 40 minutes long. Adieu. It trucks.
It is. Yeah, that's the other problem is it is about as long as a silly symphony.
It actually, yeah, it plays at the beginning of the new Pixar movie. Just watch the Joker. And then we're straight into Toy Story 6 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think this is the new standard of cinema. A movie is good or bad depending on if it would be better if Deadpool appeared in it.
Oh, sure.
By which I mean this. Wouldn't it be good if Deadpool appeared in the Joker?
Yeah.
Even for just a moment?
Yeah. But if you think of your favorite films, would they be improved by Deadpool?
No, probably not.
But Deadpool's already in Deadpool, Justin, so I don't know.
That's a really good point, Trev. Thank you. I'm currently planning my Halloween costumes for this year. I'm going to be Deadpool. I like to be fun and creative. For example, one of my ideas this year is Jeff Probst's Blue Ribbon.
Like PBR?
Say it faster.
I'm going to say it faster, but I don't know that I'm going to be able to help it much. Let's try again. Jeff Probst's Blue Ribbon. TM, TM, TM.
That's
good. Jeff Probst's Blue Ribbon.
That's really good.
Jeff Probst's Blue Ribbon. That might just be hard to say.
I would just and just dress up like Jeff Probst, but just call it Probst Blue Ribbon. You don't have to say the Jeff.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, don't say Jeff.
There we go. The problem is that I absolutely dread the inevitable. So what are you supposed to be? Okay, you're not making it easy for yourself with Jeff Probst Blue Ribbon, my friend. Just a warning. And the subsequent middling response at best or blank stare at worst. Should I stop trying to reinvent Halloween or should I just try to chase my bliss? That's from Get It in Minneapolis.
You have a creative heart and the spark and the muse is inside you. You have big power and you are channeling it all the time. And you make things harder for yourself. You make things harder for yourself. But that's when you confront that muse and you grab that big magic. Sometimes you do have to do hard things. I support your vision fully and completely. I think it's fucking
live, laugh, love.
Yes, yes, yes. No, not that one.
Oh,
that's not what it is.
It's vulnerable. It's a vulnerable time, Halloween. You're opening up yourself, your heart, and you're saying that this is some part of yourself you'd like to explore, I think.
Sure.
This is a vulnerable thing. And I think that if you have a gag costume or a punny costume, you've defaulted on that contract. Sure. I don't think you've revealed anything about yourself except that you like to use cleverness to hide behind.
But that's a pretty big one to reveal about yourself, Juice, what you just said.
It's true.
Here's the thing, and I think the reason you get a weird reaction when you say like a Jeff Probst Blue Ribbon is because part of the fun of Halloween isn't just your costume, it's the little solving of the mysteries that the people who see your costume get to do. They get that little dopamine bump of like, I figured it out. And when you say Jeff Probst Blue Ribbon, and they think, well, there's no way I was going to get that, right?
No, it feels bad. And it shouldn't be a riddle. You're wrong. No one wants
it's a riddle
all the time.
I'm saying it's a recognition. It's like, okay, this, you're Deadpool. Oh, you look great.
Okay.
And if they don't get it, but they feel stupid.
It feels, okay, but.
It's a trap, yeah, of course, all jokes.
Can we role play for just a second? Hypothetical, you guys are at a bar on Halloween night.
Greetings, Griffin. Welcome to Mind Parlor.
Yeah.
We're role playing. I didn't know.
No, but that's not typically how we do it. Like,
what do you have, Mac?
Okay.
Come on in.
Oh, welcome to
looks like you've had a rough day.
Massage and
have
burgers.
A seat at the bar. I'm
so
Sam
I guess
from Cheers.
I was thinking more like you guys are yourselves. Like you guys.
I'm Bart.
You guys can be the other characters too, but you're splitting roles here.
And I'm Davey, who's still in the Navy.
Travis
probably
is there, though.
Will be for life.
Can you give me Travis? Can you give me some Travis?
Okay, let me see.
Just talk.
Yeah. Hi. I'm making love to my tonic and gin.
Okay, cool. Gross.
Okay.
Making wet splashes everywhere.
Yeah,
on the table.
Dipping my balls
so much. Thank you so much. And Justin, you're also there.
Yeah, I'm just listening now.
There's these other big characters that you guys have created, and I love them, and I love all the work you did.
I'm the piano man!
Okay, so it's actually Billy Joel. Okay, so you hear the ding-a-ling from the chime over the bar door, and in walks someone dressed up as Probst Blue Ribbon. They're dressed up like a PBR, but they have, like, the survivor hat, maybe a buff, maybe an immunity necklace to really sort of, like, send it through. Maybe they've got Jeff's fucking knife that he doesn't stop carrying around and stabbing things with all season long.
Is he the only TV host on network TV that is carrying a knife at all times while
and he gets
camera.
So is stoked Steve Harvey on network TV?
Steve Harvey definitely has a big Bowie knife strapped to his thigh. But Jeff, it's just like, he looks for any opportunity to bag of rice, stab. Better hurry. Rice is pouring out. I'm going to do a few more stabs because of how good it feels. Anyway, they walk in. Maybe you figure it out. Maybe you don't. But they reveal to you, oh, yeah, I'm a Probst Blue Ribbon. You're telling me your response would be like, I think all three of us would be like, oh, that's fucking great. You don't have to laugh. Like,
no,
funny
I'll show
really
you exactly.
I don't get it.
This is exactly my response, Griffin. This is no joke my response. Oh, okay.
No, man, not me. I would hit you up style.
If I got it, I would feel great. If I didn't get it, I would feel bad all night. Because if I don't get it, I failed them. If I don't get Probst Blue Ribbon and I'm me, I've really let the ball drop.
Here's what I would recommend. This hasn't been helpful, so let me make it helpful for a second. There are two avenues to you to go down. Okay, Justin, I'll come back to you.
Didn't say anything.
Okay. No, you made a face about it not being helpful. I get it. There's two avenues you can go down with your Halloween costume. One is creativity, right? You're going to think of something no one else is going to think of. But the other one's execution, where detail, you like, oh, you even got that, you know, that pin on the jacket that they have, right? Maybe start funneling your energy that way. Because, like, if it's 3 years ago, everyone's going to be doing Ted Lasso or whatever. But maybe yours is the best Ted Lasso.
Don't be Ted Lasso this year.
Not now.
Please don't be Ted Lasso this year, gang.
Just what is the number of years before Ted Lasso is hysterical?
Three more.
Yeah.
Is it three?
Yeah.
I feel like the movie will be out in three, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to do it before that.
Right. You beat the movie to relevance.
I want to hear it for the people who, like, do Beetlejuice this year, because you know they're not the only Beetlejuice at that party.
So what?
This is what I'm saying.
This is what I think. I feel like there's a problem with costumes, and it hits around college, where everybody just starts to want to look either like it's about being a sort of like more sexualized version of yourself, or being like kind of having a cute, sort of fun, clever costume. And I think what we lose is that some people, like, just the people that just want to pretend to be a different person.
Yeah.
This
Like Beetlejuice.
Yeah. They just want
to
pretend
to
be Beetlejuice.
Or just attend a party. They just want to be
this
there.
This Halloween, you know, I'm going to be Deadpool. You know why? So I can pretend for one night that I'm the merc with the mouth that everybody loves.
Sure.
And I'm going to have a helmet that I made from the 3D printing. And I'm going to have a gun I made and a sword. And I'm going to be Deadpool. You know why? So I can pretend to be Deadpool.
Yeah.
For one.
And this year, Teresa and I'm going to be Paul Hollywood. She's going to be Prue Leith. And you know why? Because it's a costume I can wear that I don't have to shave my beard for.
Yep.
Will you dress one of your kids as Noel Fielding?
Oh, my God. Would I love to. Oh, my God.
Right. We're going to do the, I think we're going to do the whole Mario family, which has, like, really wild connotations to it. Because Henry really wanted to be Waluigi. And then Gus was like, down for Wario, and then me and Rachel are probably gonna be Mario and Luigi, which is like, wait a minute. Did Wario and Waluigi, are they the babies of Mario and Luigi?
Well, obviously not, Griffin, for a lot of reasons. They're the clones of them. They're the evil clones of them.
Wait, could they be their evil sons, though?
They're evil babies.
From separate mothers?
We're not
separate evil mothers.
Evil mother, half evil. They're evil on their mother's side.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of like, that's like how Party is half good and half evil. That's Wario, right? Yeah. He's not all evil. His mom was all evil.
Yeah.
Half of him is plumber.
If he was all evil, they wouldn't invite him to go go-karting with them and be at like Mario Party and Force and stuff.
Also, I'm a bit bit uncomfortable with the idea of there being an evil gene. I feel like that's just to get into some.
No, I just
we didn't phrase it that way, Griffin. It could be. It could be an evil religion that he was raised with. You don't know,
okay,
Griffin.
Okay,
it's
okay,
not
okay.
An evil gene. That would be problematic.
I got a cool idea for the cost of the PBR costume. Is if you get there dressed up like this and people are confused and you don't like how it's feeling, you go to the bathroom and you can change. And you can either be a regular old can of PBR or a Jeff Probst who is mostly nude, I imagine, if the PBR can has been shed. A mostly nude Jeff Probst, which is a state that, you know, I think he's probably comfortable with.
I just think if you're going to go pun... Both parts of the pun have got to be immediately recognized.
Yeah, like Bart later.
That's where it's breaking down for me. Jeff Probst Blue Ribbon is good in 2000 when everyone has Survivor fever.
Yeah.
I just don't think the iconography of a Jeff Probst in this landscape right now, obviously to me.
In this economy?
It's going to hit. Obviously it hits for me. I got a cardboard standee of Jeff Probst that I got for Father's Day. It's been in my living room for 5 months now.
What about like Greg Probst?
Of course,
Probst
I know
Blue
who
Ribbon.
You are. What?
Greg
Probst? Probst Blue Ribbon is good.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're saying Greg Probst is more good. Recognizable yeah. than Jeff
no.
Probst?
No, but it's sweatier.
Yeah.
So when it's explained to me, I have a good laugh about it because there's no way I would have gotten
See,
Greg
but
Probst
that's
Blue
what
Ribbon.
I'm saying.
That's funny.
Yes, we've been on the opposite end of this question this whole time because I think if someone said Probst Blue Ribbon, my response would be, that's really fucking good. That's very amusing. I'm not going to laugh at it, but it's
of course. If you have to have explained to you, you'll never laugh.
Maybe but I can enjoy it. I can be entertained by
pleasurable.
It.
You could be
pleasurable.
Greg Probst, but also some elements of a ghost and some elements of ice cream and your Probst Boo Robbins. And leave it. There's no way they're going to get that.
Yeah.
Just don't get hung up. Everybody at the party, don't get hung up on, can you guess my costume?
Yeah.
Just tell people what you're at and let's skip to the enjoying it. Yeah. Right? Let's skip to the pretending we're a sexy root beer or whatever you're wearing this year. I don't know.
There's only one good joke costume in my opinion.
The Joker.
Yeah. You come and you're just wearing like jeans or slacks or something, no top, and then they say, what are you? And you say, I'm premature ejaculation because I just came in my pants. And that's the best one that there
is. Trav, I'll be honest. I heard that joke from you in maybe the year 2007, and I do not think it's aged well over the last 17 years.
I think it
years.
Sucks.
I think what if someone is. Comes up to me and says anything about their cum, I'm good, dude. Thanks so much.
Another thing that's bad is that you said there's only one good joke costume, and I said the Joker, and you said yes.
And then
you
did agree. A different one.
You agreed that I was correct.
Can we agree the Joker would come to a party as premature ejaculation? Because that's a chaotic thing that
I
make.
No, he'd come to the party, and he would blow it up with a bunch of bombs because he fucking sucks.
He kills people.
He kills lots of people for no reason.
But the Batgirl movie gets canceled.
Come Thank on. You.
Yeah?
She doesn't kill people, does she, Justin?
Can I get one Skeletor origin story? No.
No. No, thank you.
I just want to see when he had
flesh. I want to see that. It was just Greg.
I just want to see Greg. Him before he was all bone.
Because they didn't call him Skeletor when he was a man.
He looked
I accidentally made a sideways reference to He-Man to Cooper this week, and she asked, completely no awareness of the He-Man franchise at all. And I was trying to find a way to start to back into describing He-Man.
Oh, dude.
But it's not just like the dumbest shit on the planet. Like, it's like there's no part of it where you can scoot in and be like, so there's this fucking skeleton. I don't know.
He's a skeleton.
Like, I know he looks like a big, strong prince. But he gets differently strong.
He gets bullied a lot. I think people think he's a nerd and a coward, even though
he's like
built
so
like
strong as the prince. But he needs a sword
and
to get even.
And he's got
more
a giant tiger that's a coward for some reason. The tiger
so
is afraid
wild.
Of things.
And they're not. Neither he nor Skeletor are trying to do anything.
Yeah, they don't
they
have
just
any wants.
Don't like each other.
Yeah,
very much.
I think they maybe have different views on, I don't know, whatever, and it brings them into conflict sometimes. And then there's a guy called Master at Arms, but he's only got the two arms. I don't know, man.
That's great.
My boys have stumbled into the He-Man universe also, but only because Henry found the He-Man singing What's Going On meme from like the year 1999.
Fantastic.
That's all he really needs. I have a WikiHow, if we could.
Oh, excellent.
Please, just a moment. Yes. Yeah. Lots of people have sent this in. And in fact, we did this WikiHow in the reverse WikiHow game that we sometimes play at live shows.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So now it's using an Uno
all
reverse.
Parts of the proverbial animal here.
That's right. But in reverse WikiHow, we don't actually get into the subject matter. And I'd like to get into the subject matter.
Thank you.
And lots of people sent this in. The subject matter is, what does it mean when you see a dead bird? Discover what dead bird dreams and encounters are telling you. If you've stumbled across a dead bird or you've witnessed a bird's death in your dreams, we're here to help you figure out what the universe is trying to tell you.
Okay. So this isn't like a crime scene investigation. What does it mean when you found a dead bird? Who did it?
No. I think it's cheating if you kill a bird and then you put it on the ground and you leave the room and come back in.
I didn't say that, Griffin. I didn't say I would kill a bird.
Well, I'm just saying if you figure out that, like, dead birds in this scenario, when I see them, is a forebearer of great fortunes, you can't then start killing birds to, like, create this, to you know, put a hand on the karmic wheel. Mm-hmm.
That's so true. If you see a dead bird you killed, the only thing that means is that you mission accomplished.
Yeah.
You did it.
Or, uh-oh, you may have done an accident.
Birds there again. Might be a lot of carbon monoxide around.
These darn muscles.
There's carbon monoxide, the parrot, you know, it wasn't a parrot, was it? That would have been costly.
That would suck. I think we can all agree, there is types of birds where if I saw a dead one on the ground, I would be like, oh, man, like a beautiful condor, a beautiful parakeet, ah, dang.
A cockatiel.
But just a sort of bog standard, you know, bird. That sucks, but
yeah.
Anyway. Dead bird.
I get a bunch of vultures up around my property because we got dead wildlife dying there, and they always circle around these terrible vultures. And then past some week, I saw one vulture lying dead on the ground. The other vulture circle it as if wondering, what the hell do we do about this?
What's next steps here, boys?
Someone
never in all our days. They never covered this in the manual, fellas. Do we need to talk to their partner first, or...
Somebody call the jackal. We need a fixer.
the literal jackal. We know that will eat him so we can leave.
Dead bird interpretations. You're on the precipice of a big change in life. One chapter is ending and another is beginning. At least that's the most common interpretation of a dead bird. Who's been discussing this, and how did they come to any kind of consensus?
Can you imagine if you had never heard that bit of information? You're walking with a friend. There's a dead bird on the sidewalk, and your friend just turns to you and goes, big thing's coming. Like,
yeah.
I would be so scared in that moment of my friend.
Big changes. In order to discern any meaning from it, I think we can't have any idea about why the bird is dead, right?
Yeah.
Like, aside from killing the bird, we all agreed we're not going to kill the
bird.
We're not going to kill the birds. But if you see a bird fly into a plate glass window and then die right there, which has happened to me many times, I can't derive meaning from that, right?
Like, no, you got to like, let someone glass. Else find that. If you see the birds being killed by flying into a stained glass window, I don't think it counts.
Not a stained glass, Griffin.
Now, Griffin, now this is where it gets interesting, though, with discerning the meaning. This is where it gets interesting to me. If I can, through a series of clues, derive how the bird was killed,
if you can solve the murder. So this is crime scene investigation.
If I can solve the murder of the bird, it no longer has symbolic meaning.
Right.
The symbolic meaning can only be present if its means of death is not discernible by me.
It's gotta be a secret. Because otherwise, the other option is you're at church, everyone knows that dead birds mean a good omen, and then a bird flies into the stained glass window. Everyone hops out of the pews, races to get outside to be the first one to see this dead bird.
Wait, the first one to see it?
Yeah, I feel like it gets used up. First one gets the power because the bird's soul makes the wish come true.
Okay. Only one at a time.
But only once. Anyway.
But if you have a detective waiting outside the church and he's like, there you have it. There's no power.
I saw the whole thing.
I do actually think there is a situation where you could be on the precipice of a big change in life if you saw a dead bird, and that is if the bird was 200 feet long. And then you were like famous because you're like, this guy found the giant albatross. He was technically a dinosaur, and they were real, and this guy found him. Let's shower him in praise and money. Huge change for you. So dope that you found the 200-foot turbo bird. It could also mean you're receiving a warning about a future obstacle. Got to step over this bird.
Yeah, that's not a future warning. I mean, right now. So hey,
it could mean a big change is coming, or you're going to have to deal with a huge obstacle.
Mm.
I'm just keeping track of my obstacles.
One of those two.
Because now I'm fighting, because if I'm getting outside of the church where the bird is crashed in the plate glass window, I see the bird first. Could mean big change, but it could also mean obstacle. So do I want to let Drew see it first?
Well, if you saw it die, you wouldn't get the power. We covered this.
When I was a kid, I used to think about a floor that I would be stuck in the middle of that was completely covered with dead birds. So anywhere
normal
that I stepped, I would be... I would be.
Oh, okay. For some reason, Justin, I thought your body was halfway through the floor. You were like at waist level, stuck in the floor.
Imagine like the floor is covered in like different dead birds, okay, like carcasses of dead birds. Anywhere you step, you'd step on a dead bird.
Hey, yeah. Justin, so far you've talked about how there's a lot of dead creatures around your house and vultures circle it, and then there's a dead vulture, and you've seen birds crash into the plate glass windows a lot, and now you're talking about this.
Yes.
Are you okay? Is everything all right?
Travis, thank you for wandering into the ad. Master of Terror, Justin McElroy, has been scaring you for decades. And now, with this new collection, exclusively through the mail, you could get all his scary spine-tingling tales.
Did you?
I'm this Halloween season, I'm bringing all my scariest spine-tingling tales to this thrilling new collection.
Mostly dead bird-related.
Spookiest stories.
Justin stole a canopic jar from the museum, and he poured it into a Tervis tumbler and drank it all up. And now he's got a real bird problem on his hands.
I've turned my I-Core into a 12-volume series available for a low monthly fee.
Yes, it is available for digital download.
No, but it's handsomely bound and suitable for presentation.
I'm skipping around this article, but I do want to just quick go back to the additional matter on these first two pieces. The first one, you're on a big precipice of a change in life. It adds, alternatively, the bird could be an omen that change is coming for you regardless of the choices that you make. Birds die all the time because of things they have no control over. And perhaps a big change is coming for you. That's really true about birds. So you're receiving a warning about a future obstacle. On the flip side, a dead raven or crow may specifically indicate a good fortune. Crows and ravens are often symbols of death or bad news. Sucks for the crows and ravens, I bet, that we walk along and we're like, Yes.
Wouldn't it be, first of all, I believe it's the raven, is way bigger than you're picturing right now. If I'm walking down the street and there's just a dead raven lying on the ground, I'm running away so quickly.
They're so big that when you are come upon one, a lot of times it feels like perspective must be
off. Wrong.
Like, oh, this can't be right. That's huge. Look at that. He must be closer than I thought he was because he's gigantic.
Also, wouldn't it be wild if this article revealed to us that actually birds only die by choice? That birds never die from circumstances beyond their...
Tweet.
I've flown enough.
I'm going to the birdie side layer. Goodbye.
They just make the decision.
Whee!
If you're experiencing...
It's because it's heaven, Trav. They just have to go up.
They just
<That's all laughs> you don't see a lot of dead birds. We should be seeing way more. It's because when they're done and they fulfilled their mission,
they fly, just fly
right
up
on
there.
Up.
Top floor.
And if their spirit is clean and enough and they don't have any sins, they can they can make it. It becomes space birds.
And what would a bird do that's so bad?
So it could also mean that you're experiencing the end of a relationship. If you see a dead bird in the middle of a tumultuous time with a partner, friend, or family member, it's a sign the relationship has passed.
Or a dead bird.
Yeah, especially if the relationship was with the bird. That's done. Oh, man, I guess me and that bird broke up.
I don't think it's going to work out, bird.
Hey, bird, I don't know what tumultuous was, but I think we're tumultuous. I read in a book that I think we're tumultuous because you're dead.
But also, if you are struggling in your relationship and you have to run to the post office, life hack, Just look up the whole way. Only alive birds up there. No dead birds up in the sky.
Too true.
Are we to assume, Griffin, that in every one of these circumstances, if seeing a dead bird means this thing, seeing a live bird means the opposite? Like, when I see a live bird, is it a sign that nothing's ever going to change in my life again?
I don't think so, because live birds, there's so many of them. Who cares?
Live birds is interesting because they are not meaningful until you see enough of them that there's something in your human animal brain that you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
When I see 100 birds, I'm done. Like, there's something wrong. Yeah. Something's bad. I don't like to see a lot of them all together.
You're being visited or blessed. In some spiritual traditions, a dead bird is a sign that someone or something is coming to say hello. If you've recently lost a loved one, maybe they're using the bird as a way to get your attention. I would have used an alive bird.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't stress enough, WikiHow article, that's what it could mean if there's one dead bird outside my house. If there's 100 dead birds outside my house, something's coming.
I don't know that many people in heaven, so I don't know why if this is part of some other culture or religious practice, I'm not going to criticize it. I'm just saying, personally, I would have been an alive bird to visit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I passed, you guys would be bummed, and then you're like, oh, Griffin sent his spirit down in a vessel to say what's up, and it's a dead bird? You guys are going to be like, it's just another dead Griffin. This sucks. We already have one of those. This sucks.
Thanks for nothing.
Let him fly around our little heads and land on our fingers and like tell us how chill it is in heaven. Not another dead griffin. Yikes. Now we got two.
Maury's doing something.
I do want to know how Maury's doing. And I believe, what's the dog's name?
Marley.
Marley. No, Marley was dead to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's good. So, Griffin, what else could a dead bird mean?
Eating tonight.
A lot of these are really repeating. You're in for a bit of bad luck. Yeah, I saw a dead bird. That sucks. You're going to experience a loss soon. Yeah, my bird. We're doubling up on a lot of this. Now, this one's interesting. You're being warned to avoid taking a certain path. Now, this could be prophetic, or it could be there's a bobcat out there down
quite
that
literal
path of the jungle who wants nothing to fucking do with you. He puts the dead bird there as if to say, don't even step. Don't even try it. Look what I did to this thing. I will do that to you, kill you graveyard dead, even though I'm just a little fuzzy guy. I will fucking kill you dead if you come in my territory.
This is interesting because I look at this as like one dead bird, random. Two dead birds, warning. Three dead birds. Now we're starting to build a little breadcrumb path here.
Okay.
Someone wants me to follow these three dead birds.
Yeah.
Now the question is it, do they need my help? And maybe they don't have anything except dead birds on them. Or is this a scary thing and I shouldn't follow it? I don't know. But now, whoops, I'm 9 dead birds deep and it's gotten dark and I can't see the beginning of the trail anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? Oh, no. I found a 12-book series of scary stories written by Justin McElroy. Is this how I get it?
You're in one, dude.
Oh, man.
I believe it was Robbie Frost who said, like, don't take the easy road, always take that hard, bumpy road.
Yeah, look for the one with dead birds.
I think that's exactly how the poem goes. And so maybe you see the dead bird on that path, and you're like, I guess this bird couldn't hack it. You say, wow, this road is a tough one. Robbie Frost was right. I bet there's treasure at the end of it. That's the meaning of that whole poem. And then you walk on that one, and you get the treasure, maybe.
Well, what if I find a bird at a crossroads? Which one of those paths am I not supposed to take?
You spin the bird, go the way it lands. It's not great. Like, I'm not loving talking
it's
about dead
system.
Birds.
We're not advocating for it.
No, I don't. I do like birds, and there's a lot of them, and you do see quite a few dead ones when you're just, like, out strolling around. But
so many.
This practice, you do have to pick up the bird and spin it around a little bit.
No problem.
I would probably just turn around and go back home.
What do you think a bird feels when it sees a dead us?
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, man, think about that.
Let's go to the money zone.
I think that the scariest things in life is the real shit. My health, my ability to defend my family with my strength and sound mind. Mm-hmm. But it can be hard to find the specialist that I need to build my health, strength, and sound mind, especially living here in Washington, D.C. Fucking bureaucracy town.
Red tape.
They may as well call it all these red tape tying up my ankles and my hands. But luckily, ZocDoc is carrying the Sword of Liberty to free me from my imprisonment and help me find the specialist that I need for my care.
Okay.
What's wrong?
No, I just want to hear all about this. This doesn't sound right.
I want to hear about the sword and how to wield this.
Oh, don't worry. This is how we fucking get, like, this is how we get the listeners to not, like, hit that skip bad button. Don't worry. I'll talk more about the sword later. For now, I want to tell you.
Smart.
Yeah, it's good shit. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors, choose the right one for your needs, and click to instantly book an appointment. I have used ZocDoc here in D.C. A lot of times, and it's become something I really rely on when I need to find a new medical specialist, because it's very, very hard to find a place in D.C. that takes your insurance and is accepting patients. And
Edgar, are you about to cry?
No, do I look like I'm about to cry?
It's just you have lot of medical specialists.
It just sounds like you're going to cry about ZocDoc because you love it so much.
Get him.
No, I don't think I'm going to cry. I'm just enthusiastic.
It sounds like you're going to cry about it because you love it so much.
Will ZocDoc marry you?
That's weird, man. It's weird.
Because you love it so much.
It just sounds like you're going to cry, and I thought you were going to cry about ZocDoc.
Because you love it so much.
Anyway, I use ZocDoc, and now I can find all that shit so easy. I really rely on it. This thing has solved problems for me.
Like a romantic partner?
And so if I'm enthusiastic about it,
Travis, please.
I know we have another ad coming up, and you guys know I'm not going to take the lead on it. I'm going to fucking ride your fucking jock so hard on this next one.
I was building on yours, Griffin.
I'm going to bust your jocks into pieces. Thank you so much.
I was building off your energy.
If I can finish with my ad that people have paid us to do.
We did not mean to ZocDoc jock block you, Griffin. Yes, I'm so sorry.
When I stand up, you're going to hear jingle jangle sound from my jock getting smashed.
I was supporting you.
I gotta find a doctor. I gotta find a doctor because my fucking my ding dang penis got smashed while trying to do this fucking ad. ZocDoc is where I'll go.
Don't get fucking mad at me for trying to yes chef your stupid bits.
I got jock blasted so hard that it makes noise now when I move around. So I gotta get on ZocDoc.
Something's loose in there.
I gotta get on ZocDoc and get an appointment within 24 to 72 hours of booking.
You say appointment. An appointment.
Perfect. You could score same day appointments too, which is good because I need someone to look at this now.
You can barely sit down.
It's rattling. See this.
He's been hovering over his seat for the entirety of the recording. He's got to see a professional.
The sword is inlaid with rubies all across the hilt. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother. ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
I'm from the future. And I've been meaning to tell you guys this for a while now. And I keep forgetting to mention it. That's why I was here for episode one. And I came back to tell you guys that soon the robots are coming.
Oh, cool.
Get to the point. As long as you have a Squarespace website, they'll spare you, is what I heard.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay, I'm checking the ad copy here. It does say to overtly threaten your listeners.
I'm not threatening anybody, Griffin.
Yeah.
The robots are.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of, also kind of you, right?
No, Griffin, I would never.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mostly out of respect for Squarespace. They've been a longtime supporter of us, and they make it easy to make a beautiful website to showcase like your work or sell products, even time. And they've introduced their new design intelligence from Squarespace. So that makes it easier.
How's your jock doing, dude?
And with Squarespace Payments, it's the easiest way to manage your payments in one place with Squarespace. Get started in just a few clicks and give your customers more way to pay with popular payment methods like Klarna and ACH and Apple Pay. I've got a website on Squarespace that I'm a big fan, and they've made it easy for years. And they just keep finding new ways to make it easier and easier. And as long as I keep talking, my brothers can't interrupt me to bust my jock. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial.
I'm aiming for, I got my sight square on that jock, dude.
Go to www.squarespace.com/mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website. website or domain. One more time, go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Now I'm afraid that I'll have to stop filibustering, and Griffin is going to start talking as soon as I do.
Oh, I'm pent up. Oh, more like Squarespace.
This season on The Adventure Zone, Abnimals. Get ready for a brand new crime-fighting trio here to protect the anthropomorphic muscular animal citizens of River City. Featuring Justin McElroy as Axolotl, the firefighting axolotl. Clint McElroy as Roger Moore, the debonair cow of mystery. Griffin McElroy as Navy SEAL, the raw seal that has never served in the armed forces. And Travis McElroy as every other swole critter in River City. This swear-free Saturday morning cartoon-inspired story airs every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emily Fleming.
And I'm Jordan Morris.
We're real comedy writers.
And real friends.
And real cheapskates.
We say, why subscribe to expensive streaming services when you can stream tons of insane movies online for free?
Yeah, as long as you're fine with 25 randomly inserted, super loud car insurance commercials.
On our podcast, Free With Ads, we review streaming movies from the darkest corner of the internet's bargain bin.
From the good to the weird to the holy, look at Van Damme's big old butt.
Free With Ads, a free podcast about free movies that's worth the price of admission.
Every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite pod spot.
I feel like I didn't affect his jog at all.
Your impact on my jog is minimal at best.
I said that I want to munch.
Squad. Dogs.
Okay, I just wanted to let you guys know about a promotion that began today.
Ooh. Huh.
Yes. Gut check? Yes.
Travis, quick gut check?
Yeah.
Okay.
The next big thing has arrived at Burger King, and it's fit for a ranch-loving king, queen, or rapper sandwich. After launching Hidden Valley Ranch in Burger King restaurants nationwide this summer, Burger King and Hidden Valley Ranch are coming together and introducing guests to a limited-time creation sure to get everyone talking and dipping.
Can I describe?
The Big Dip Cup.
Can I describe what I'm looking at here?
Yeah, please, Trev.
What this looks like to me, my first gut, is first of all, it's the most simple Microsoft background that
it literally is the Windows 2003 yes. grassy knoll.
And from whence they have assassinated this hamburger by dipping it into imagine you bought a Barbie tub, right? Yes. That size right. of pure uncut Hidden Valley Ranch.
Yeah.
But next to it, what they've done that I really love is they've put, I think for size comparison, a ranch dipping cup that's already available.
Like a human one, right?
A human one. And I'm glad they did that because I'm a fucking idiot. And I would have assumed that it was just a small burger and a normal sized ranch cup because why would they make
it? It's not that.
Why would Burger King distribute pints of ranch dressing? I think would be my first question.
Yeah. This looks like if you've ever ridden, if you've ever been to the Magic Kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. And in the if you go over to Future World, there's, you know, in the
People Mover?
No, the other one. Oh my gosh.
Carousel of Progress?
Thank you. Okay. You know, you go to the Carousel of Progress, there's the one part where the old man's in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Of course.
This tub Burned is the exact size and shape of the bathtub that the old man is in. It is a bathtub of ranch.
Yeah.
Putting this other container there, they have made it very clear that what they are selling here is not the ability to include ranch in your burger experience. You could have had that before. You could have poured it onto, remove the bun, pour on some ranch. What they're saying is what we've given you now, what the iteration here is in this promotion is the ability to dip the entirety of your burger in ranch at once.
Right. And what's hard is when you look at it, once you shove the burger down into the cup, I don't know what your next step is.
Yeah.
Because the human, like, you're going to have to invert the burger somehow to get your bite, like a 180 flip of the burger to get your ranchy bite.
And let's just be honest, you're going to bring out so much extra ranch on the retrieval.
Sure.
That you're going to create a situation for yourself.
I need to just say my position real quick. I love this. I don't put a lot of shit on my burgers. And I think a hamburger is an EDO, an extremely dippable object. And that is what you can use that for, is to mop and sop up all the ketchup. And in this case, ranch dressing. Like, yeah, I do like it.
It's 8 ounces of ranch dressing.
Great.
Jesus.
Starting October 16th, the Big Dip Cup will be available at select Burger Kings in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, Dallas, Houston, and San Francisco. And we're making it easy for Burger King and HVR fanatics to get their hands, and yes, they'll need both on it. You can use this. There's a tracker to find
where the burger is in your stomach. How far it's moved.
Well, since you turn your esophagus into a sort of ranch dressing water slide, I think these things probably haul ass through you.
The good news is if you go to their website, you can actually order one. If you go to hiddenvalley.com.
Yeah. Order the tub.
You can order the tub to have them ship it to your house.
Not the burger.
So what I did was,
right?
I paid $1 for the tub and then $10 for the shipping.
You are a crafty consumer.
I just happened to get in there when I was reading this press release. They had just gone live. So I managed to order one shipped to my house. Now, what's the problem? Obviously, I don't like ranch dressing. So my big concern is that whoever is making this delivery will die while they're doing it.
Oh, I see.
Because
it's a bird,
it's just such a terrible way to go for this. I'm having someone ship it to my home. But yes, I will. And I'll report back.
Is it resealable? I must know this. Because if the answer to that question is no, then you've just said it's up to you to down 8 tall ounces of ranch dressing in one go.
I don't know, Griffin, what kind of ranch fanatic do you think exists that says, I want to buy that tub of ranch, but I don't know that I'll really get into it right now.
I love ranch enough to try it. You're over-investing. If you aren't sure if you're going to finish this in one go, you've over-invested in ranch, I will say.
Justin, if this comes, I want you to save it in your home until I come visit, because my daughter, Bibi, puts ranch upon everything, and I think would go absolutely hog wild.
I will try. There's some quotes here. Once we introduced Hidden Valley Ranch to Burger King restaurants nationwide, we knew we wanted to celebrate the partnership in a big way, said Pat O'Toole, the chief marketing officer of Burger King North America. We know our guests love dipping everything in ranch, even their sandwiches.
Even their dirty, nasty fingers.
With their wretched human fingers dangling into every little sauce pot they can find. We know our guests love dipping everything in ranch, so we're excited to deliver a Hidden Valley Ranch dip cup big enough for all their dipping and dunking needs. Listen, guys, if it's going to be this bland, don't even release a press release about it.
Just put out the picture.
I mean? Give me something to work with. We're thrilled that Hidden Valley Ranch is now available at Burger King, said Hidden Valley Ranch. A big dip cup big enough for a Whopper sandwich felt like the perfect way to celebrate the exciting news that America's favorite ranch, asterisk, is now available at Burger King.
Huh. What's the asterisk? I wonder what that asterisk's all about.
What's the
It doesn't refer to anything that I can detect.
Cool.
Are they legally not allowed to say that it's America's favorite ranch?
There's a version of this that gets me excited. That gets America excited. If they had any fun with it and been like, Burger King excited to announce partnership with Hidden Valley Ranch on a tub of ranch dressing that is big enough to drown in. This thing is so big.
And that gets you excited?
If you fell into it, you would drown in it. If they just said anything kind of fun or funny about the big, like
anything.
The headline could be, Jesus Christ.
What have we done?
You guys will not believe. You guys will lose your fucking minds when you see how big this dressing cup is.
This is the overhead on this ranch is ridiculous. We are losing money on you ranch perverts out there, but please enjoy.
I feel like I got one over on them because my 8-ounce cup of ranch costs $1, And 16 ounces at the Walmart cost $4. So I really am getting one over on them.
When you go to Walmart, do they make you pay $10 to leave with it?
Only when I accidentally have Walmart ship something to me that I didn't realize wasn't in stock.
Yeah.
That's a problem with the Walmart app is sometimes you can accidentally order some, I don't know, let's say you have a specific kind of pretzel rod that you really like.
Maybe you're, let's say, Sluts for Utz, maybe.
Yeah, let's say you go nuts without your Utz.
I don't love that that's been brought into the Bim Bam canon. I feel like we had sequestered that over in Clubhouse land, but
it's so all one canon, baby.
Shoot.
Sometimes it doesn't matter. You don't notice that it's actually going to be shipped to you and not brought from the store, but the Walmart app doesn't care. It's like, you want to get Utz? Come on, let's get Utz. And yeah, it'll ship them to you from Ashland.
Oh, I'll give you some fucking Utz. from Montana.
Let's get Utz. No. I paid $11 overall for 8 ounces of ranch. So I guess I didn't.
So really about $1.20, $1.30.
I don't want to get into the math. See, the delight on your daughter's face is going to be worth it.
I'm so excited to make an announcement in the housekeeping. Can we please go? Can
yeah,
we
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, come on.
At the end of November, the week of Thanksgiving, I am going to be performing in 20 Sided Tavern. The off-Broadway show is an improv, magical, hilarious D&D experience. I'll be performing as the Trickster live on stage. It'll be the Trickster, the Mage, the Fighter, and then we have the Tavern Keeper, the DM. It's full. Like, it's going to be an amazing experience. I'm only doing 7 performances on Wednesday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of that week. So I'm so excited, you guys. I'm over the moon. I hope you all will come out to it in New York City, off Broadway, 20 Sided Tavern. Come see me at the show. There's like matinees and everything. It's going to be amazing.
Matinees and everything.
Matinees and everything.
It's you have to work amazing. In the morning?
And what's the afternoon?
Crazy.
I wouldn't do it in the morning. Come on.
I'm very, very excited for that. I'm also excited for our last tour of the year coming up. Thank you to everybody who came to see us in Denver and Phoenix. We haven't done those shows yet, but I hope that we did a good job. I'm sure we did.
I've already done them.
We
usually do.
Our next tour coming up in November, we're going to be in Indianapolis doing Taz with Abria Iyengar and Mabim Bam, and then we're going to be doing Mabim Bam in Milwaukee. And you can go to bit.ly/McRoyTours for tickets and more information if you want to come to either or any of those shows.
And if you listen to this when it comes out, Dad and I are going to be at MCM London this weekend doing panels and signings and all kinds of stuff. That's when? All at bit.ly/McRoyTours as well.
When are you going to do that?
Yeah, man. We get back on the 21st. I leave on the 22nd.
What a busy boy you are, Trav.
I'm a very busy boy.
Hey, let's finish.
Two more things.
Let's finish.
Okay, we do need to do these last two things.
Okay, hurry up. The Justin's on its way up.
The Justins are small.
I'll tell you what. You're right. We won't tell people about the merch in the merch store, like the Trav Nation long sleeve tee by Riley Woolworth, and that 10% of all proceeds this month will go to Native Women Lead. We won't tell them about that, macroymerch.com. And we also won't, this one I don't know that I agree with, but you guys seem to feel really strongly about
it. Not me.
I won't thank Montaigne for the use for a theme song, My Life is Better With
thank
You.
Thank you.
I said, no.
Thank you.
We simply won't, because sorry.
I'm thanking you.
Sorry, Montaigne.
I'm thanking you.
No time for it, this one.
I'm thanking you for skipping it.
Oh, I see.
They've gotten their plaudits.
I think Montaigne's great, but you're just wanting to just haul on through to the other side. So let's do it, man.
All right. Do we have a wish?
Always.
Okay. What's yours, Trev?
Oh, do I have one? Well, yeah, you guys back me up and I'll elevate it. I love petting my dog, but sometimes I wish she would pet me back.
My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
It's better with you. My life. Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.